The following is provided through the IAAIS Program Share Service.
Welcome to this week's Soap Opera Digest. I'm Virginia Voice volunteer Pete Peake, reading today from the April 28, 2025 issue of Soap Opera Digest to keep you up to date on all of your favorite characters and soap opera news. In our first story today, your handy guide to soaps the week of April the 28th by Michelle Parkerton. From CBS and Beyond the Gates, on Monday, April the 28th, Naomi struggles to gain the trust of her new client. Ashley and Derek adjust to their new living arrangement, and Leslie launches her latest scheme against the Duprees. Beyond the Gates will be preempted on Tuesday, April the 29th and Wednesday, April the 30th for CBS sports coverage of the UEFA Champions League. The Duprees kick off Ted and Nicole's anniversary party on Thursday, May the 1st. Ava tries one last time to keep her mother in check, and Kat inches closer to unearthing the conspiracy that threatens to shatter the family's big night. On Friday, May the 2nd, Ted and Nicole's anniversary party is a night the family won't soon forget, while Ashley and Derek struggle the messy realities of moving in together, and meanwhile, Bill braces for his part in Ted's deception to come to light. From The Bold and Beautiful, fuel gets added to the fire when Steffi and Taylor learn who the showstopper was truly meant for on Monday, April the 28th. And while Katie catches a glimpse of Daphne kissing Carter, and on Tuesday, April the 29th, Ridge confronts Eric over the stunt he pulled with Brooke, and Katie demands the truth from Daphne after having eavesdropped on her and Zenda. Ridge is torn by Eric's words and Brooke's actions on Wednesday, April the 30th, and Daphne doesn't stand a chance when Katie fiercely protects Carter. On Thursday, May the 1st, Hope gets suspicious of Liam's new living arrangement, and Will congratulates Electra on her newfound happiness and success. Liam encourages Hope to give Carter another chance on Friday, May the 2nd. From The Days of Our Lives, Kayla is the bearer of bad news on Monday, April the 28th, when she delivers devastating news to Marlena and Steve, and Sophie gets an invitation to the prom from Tate. On Tuesday, April the 29th, Doug finds himself in a bit of a trouble with Xander and makes a confession to Sarah. Kat's actions shock Chad on Wednesday, April the 30th, and Leo hurls an accusation at Gabby. As Sean turns to Steve for assistance on Thursday, May the 1st, Xander and Alex work together to come up with a solution, while Marlena delivers some motherly advice to Belle on Friday, May the 2nd. Sophia becomes more and more annoyed by her mom, Amy. From General Hospital, on Monday, April the 28th, Sonny is in grave danger. Alexis receives a gift. Trina and Kai enjoy a night out, and Gio turns to Emma for help. And Christina and Molly want answers. Anna is suspicious on Tuesday, April the 29th. Marco and Lucas get closer. Tracy reveals shocking info to Gio, and Portia walks in on Curtis and Jordan. And Drew makes a scene. On Wednesday, April the 30th, Willow has an unpleasant homecoming. Nina has second thoughts. Brennan shares his theory. Alexis vents to Lulu, and Laura and Curtis confer. Brooklyn opens up to Tracy on Thursday, May the 1st, and Drew pleads his case. Laura cautions Lulu. Chase makes a request of Dante, and Jocelyn crafts a plan. On Friday, May the 2nd, Maxie receives an ultimatum. Dante and Lulu have an emotional talk. Lois is put on the spot, and Nina debriefs with Carly, and Mac learns of a crime. And from The Young and Restless, on Monday, April the 28th, Victor gives Michael an ultimatum. Lily plays nice with Holden, and Jack gives Billy a vote of confidence. Billy and Phyllis's partnership takes an unexpected turn on Tuesday, April the 29th. Mariah keeps a secret from Tessa, and Audra schemes with Sally. On Wednesday, April the 30th, Nikki takes matters into her own hands to help Claire and Kyle. Victoria pushes Cole to make a tough decision, and Lauren receives unexpected news. Victor raises the games with Audra on Thursday, May the 1st, while Laura loses patience with Michael and Summer deals with a professional crisis. And on Friday, May the 2nd, Victor encourages Adam to play dirty. Chelsea makes a bold move, and Phyllis worries about Daniel. In our next story today, the tune-in alert, the bold and beautiful spoilers, He Is My Destiny by Diane Brunstein. Is it destiny? The action in this bold and beautiful spoilers preview for the week of April the 28th begins with Brooke in Ridge's office, talking with him after the Forrester Creations fashion show in which she wore the showstopper. The scene immediately switches to Brooke, talking with Hope. You say you want to be with Ridge? Then I want that for you too, Hope tells her mother. He is my destiny, Brooke says. Pushback. Eric takes Ridge aside in the CEO's office and makes his feelings clear to his son. Go back to Brooke. It's where you belong, Eric says in a matter-of-fact way. Eric should know, having been roadkill on the Brooke and Ridge superhighway more than once. Ridge insists that he doesn't feel the same way. I'm committed to someone else, he reminds Eric. A confrontation. Katie has a tough question for Daphne. The nose of Paris has had her eyes set on Carter with fierce determination. But has Katie learned the reason why she arrived at Forrester Creations in the first place? Are you only in Los Angeles to do Steffi's dirty work? Katie asks. Intrigued, Daphne remains demure in the face of the third degree she's getting from Katie. Meanwhile, the object of Daphne's affection isn't fighting for her. He's fighting to get Hope back. Carter is with Hope, and he wants her to know that he is willing to go to the mat for her love. Tell me you want me as much as I want you, Carter says. Hope has been steadfast in her belief that Carter let her down when she needed him most. She thought her mother, Brooke, did as well, but they have mended fences. Is the timing right for Hope to finally forgive Carter, too? Let us know what you think in the comments section. In our next story today, the General Hospital's spoilers promo, You Left Me No Choice, by Diane Brunstein. The heart of the matter, the action in this General Hospital spoilers preview for the week of April the 28th, opens at the California hospital where Sonny is undergoing his heart procedure. An on-alert Brick talks with Carly and warns her, We got a little situation. Given that the show's Friday cliffhanger showed someone sneaking into Sonny's hospital room, seemingly intent on doing him harm, we'd say the situation is more than a little one. A deep betrayal? The relationship between the Davis women is blowing up now that Molly has known Christina, the legal. The relationship between the Davis women is blowing up now that Molly has shown Christina the legal papers she discovered. Christina is stunned to learn that Alexis wanted to have her committed to a mental institution and immediately confronts her at the law office she shares with Diane Miller. You did this behind my back, Christina huffs, because you left me no choice, Alexis shoots back. Of course she knows something that Molly doesn't, which is that Christina tried to kill Ava, and in doing so nearly took the lives of Liz and Rick, Molly's father. Is this explosive secret about to see the light of day? Dangerous moves. Kai is prepped for surgery against the wishes of Portia, Curtis, and especially Trina. Still, Trina is by his side, showing her support. It's time, she announces. Meanwhile, Nina's plan to take down Crew Kane is in motion. she discreetly hands a vial to the escort she met at the Metro Court and says, "I want Drew to have a night that everyone in Port Charles will never forget." As her scheme unfolds, Curtis looks shocked. Jocelyn appears horrified, and Lulu, now back in her role as a reporter, captures the moment on her phone. Willow is also shown visibly angry. What has Drew done? Let us know what you think in the comments section. In our next story today, the tune-in alert, Beyond the Gates, Tell Me What the Hell is Going On Here, by Diane Brunstein. Frank Talk, the action in the Beyond the Gates spoilers preview for the week of April the 28th, opens with Chelsea as she pays a visit to her cousin, the congressman, at the home he shares with his husband and two teenage kids. Martin tells her, "Always happy to lend my expertise." Chelsea perks up and says, "Great, I want to talk about threesomes." A celebration over at the Richardson home, Ted and Nicole are getting a head start on commemorating their anniversary in style. The two sit facing each other on the couch, champagne glasses in hand. Ted holds a strawberry in his other hand as he tells his loving wife, "This is the beginning of what will be a truly epic anniversary celebration." Nicole smiles and wiggles her nose flirtatiously. Spilling the tea, over at the Hamilton household, Bill has told Haley a dark secret about Ted. He cheated on his wife. No way Ted could not cheat on Nicole, she insists, incredulously about what she has learned. A smug Bill simply looks at his wife knowingly. Party time. At the country club, Vernon and Anita are dressed up and sitting down. "What in the blue blazes?" Vernon asks to no one in particular as he reacts to something that has happened at the party. Ted and Nicole are standing at the front of the room, and Nicole asks, "Somebody needs to tell me what the hell is going on here." Nearby, Kat mutters under her breath to a concerned-looking Mona, "Why do I suddenly feel like I'm about to lose my family?" She may be right. See it all for yourself. Let us know what you think in the comments section. In our next story today, the tune-in alert, the Young and Restless spoilers promo, I Guarantee You Just Made It Worse, by Diane Brunstein. A warning, the action in this Young and Restless spoilers preview for the week of April the 28th begins with Michael and Lauren having a discussion at the Genoa City Athletic Club that gets a little testy. She has already tried to intervene in his work relationship with Victor Newman by asking for Nikki's help. Michael doesn't want the feud between Jack and Victor to worsen, and I'm trying to navigate this situation to the best possible outcome, Michael explains. Oh, well, I guarantee you, you just made it worse, because when Victor finds out, it's going to bite you in the ass, Lauren warns her husband. What did Michael do? Running around in circles, Billy and Phyllis are talking about her insistence that Daniel must join them at Abbott Communications, even when he said he doesn't want to. An agitated Billy wants to know if her son refuses to join them, whether Phyllis will leave too. I've asked you to give this up. Daniel has asked you to give this up, and you refuse to do it. So, I mean, you've left me no choice, Billy implores as momentarily confused Phyllis. She then looks at him with almost amusement as she asks, what does that mean? Billy simply shakes his head no. What is wrong? Mariah arrives and gives Tessa a hug, but something about her definitely seems off. It causes her wife, Tessa, some concern. Mariah, is everything okay? Mariah looks almost scared. She remains silent, further confusing her wife. What's going on? Tessa asks. Mariah remains silent and simply darts her eyes, taking in her surroundings. See it all for yourself in the video preview. Let us know what you think in the comments section. In our next story today, the tune-in alert for the days of our lives, It's My Dad, He's Dying, by Diane Brunstein. Buy the book, The Action in This Days of Our Lives video preview for the week of April the 28th, opens with Alex finding a manuscript in a box belonging to his girlfriend, Stephanie. One Stormy Night by Stephanie Johnson, he says out loud. The voiceover declares, this story is getting stormy, as the action switches to Paulina's apartment. There, Johnny and Chanel are having a heart-to-heart conversation, during which he opens up about his evolving feelings about starting a family together. I'm not sure if I can go through with this adoption, he says, breaking his wife's heart. Johnny then opens the door to Tate and Sophia. The teens were riding high on having found a couple to adopt their baby, but now everything is up in the air. The voiceover returns and says, the clouds are getting darker. Johnny opens up a door that suggests he's now staying at the Salem Inn. Tate is there. And what are you doing? Asks Johnny, just as Tate is set to punch Johnny in the face, which he does. In the next scene, Johnny opens up to his grandmother, Susan. E.J. DeMira is dead to me, Johnny says, as E.J. looks heartbroken. Susan tells E.J. he's hiding something dark. Someone, possibly E.J., recalls seeing Johnny holding a gun on him. And the winds are about to change. Sean is on the phone while Jada looks on anxiously. It's my dad. He's dying, he tells his house guest about what he was just told about Bo Brady. The next scene shows a doctor, Dr. Jeffrey Russell, played by soap alumni Michael Dietz, best known for portraying Dr. Joe Scanlon on Port Charles, talking with Dr. Kayla Brady, the hospital's chief of staff, and Bob's sister. The drug that you are working on could save my brother's life, she explains insistently. I wish I could help your brother, but my hands are tied, he tells the shocked Kayla. Sean meets with his Uncle Steve at the Brady Pub and delivers a grim update. Dr. Russell's not going to change his mind, he says, frustration in his voice. This drug is my dad's only shot, and we need to steal it. Check it out for yourself in the upcoming previews. Let us know what you think in the comments section. In our next story today, an exclusive, The Young and Restless, Secrets of the New Abbott Mansion Set, by Chris Eads. Jack wasn't the only one nervous about Diane refreshing the design of the Abbott Mansion on The Young and Restless. The people behind the scenes at the soap were also concerned about the consequences of making some big changes to one of the most iconic sets. So why did the show decide it was time to make a makeover? According to production designer David Hoffman, the Abbott House has been a comforting and familiar presence on The Young and Restless since the earliest beginnings of the show. Its stately interior has been at the center of countless stories involving the family behind the cosmetic dynasty that John Abbott founded. But after all those years, the mansion was beginning to show its age, and the decor was no longer in step with current design trends. A refresh was in order, but only if we could figure out a way to do it while maintaining the DNA of the original set. Bringing the design of the Abbott home up to date also gave the soap the chance to work it into a storyline to create some extra drama, and it was Peter Bergman's idea. Susan Walters, whose alter ego Diane led the makeover charge, muses, I think for Diane, she really wanted to feel a part of the home. In the big picture, it shows she was ready to update the living room, and it was so generous of Peter Bergman to suggest that it be a story between Jack and Diane, and a way for them to test how Jack trusts her and for her to really try to put herself out there to make the family acknowledge that she has the best interest at heart by doing it. Peter Bergman not only instigated the overlap between real life and real life, but played an important role in conceptualizing the redesign. Reports Hoffman, working in concert with the rest of the design team, Jennifer Salva, Justine Mercado, and Monica Lowe, we began assembling research pictures of elements that we wanted to incorporate into the final design. Then we asked to have a sit-down with Peter Bergman to present to him our plans for the set his character had called home since he started on the show. In fact, because of his long attachment, we decided to conduct the meeting as if we were having a conversation with Jack Abbott, not the actor who played him. This was a lot of fun, and Peter never broke character until the very end of the meeting. When Diane showed off her redesign to Jack and Kyle, the character naturally knew what she had been working on this whole time, but her portrayer had been in the dark about the new look. In fact, the day they shot the reveal was the first time Walters had laid eyes on the set. "That's partly my fault," the actress admits with a chuckle. "The set decorators and designers were really generous and asked me at one point, did I want to see everything? But it was like, maybe the day before, and I was running to get on stage and I thought, no, I want to be surprised. Susan wanted to be surprised. Diane was very trusting." The actress was pleased with the end results, noting, "I thought they did a great job of updating it, and yet it still looked like it still had antiques and still had old money." Which is exactly the balance that Hoffman and his team were hoping to strike. To me, the Abbotts projected classic European old money sensibilities that have long been associated with wealth and power, he says. "Their house already had the bones of that, so I wanted to lean into that aesthetic with the addition of millwork and paneling throughout the set, along with the types of decor that one might find in a great house of Europe." While much of the transformation was cosmetic, some construction was involved, particularly where the space between the foyer and the living room was concerned. The floor plan of the original set remained the same, but we did do a fair amount of reconstruction, both structural and cosmetic, the production designer shares, the two most noticeable parts being the new curved arch between the living room and the entryway, which makes that space feel taller and grander, and the 6-foot-tall raised panel molding throughout the dining room, which gives a formal masculine feel to the space, which is balanced by the more feminine wallpaper above and the curved draperies over the window. Walters also counts that the new archway as one of her favorite parts of the redesign. "So now you really see the chandelier," she enthuses. "It made the whole room just look so much bigger and more open. Oh, and the dining room? I never noticed how pretty the wallpaper was until they did the refresh and kind of brightened and lightened everything up. It's pretty." The actress is also rather fond of a new piece of furniture that was added to the living room. "I love that the princess chair is now a lot cooler looking, or as we call it, the queen's chair," Walters confides. "When I first started on the show, there was a scene where Ashley was sitting in that chair, and I was like, oh my God, it's like a queen on the throne. And it was so scary for Diane. And then we called it the princess chair. And now it's like this really, really kind of cool modern chair with a sort of leopard print. That's my favorite piece." Hoffman is proud of his team that was able to accomplish with the refresh of the Abbott Mansion and hopes the fans appreciate it as well. "As you look at it, you can see what has been changed and improved," he declares, "but it still feels familiar and right for the family that calls it home." In our final story today, the latest, the bold and beautiful Scott Clifton on playing Liam's brain tumor. "I've been really self-conscious," by Mara Levinsky. Scott Clifton, who recently opened up to Soap Opera Digest about his character's battle with an inoperable brain tumor, has won 3 Daytime Emmy Awards for his portrayal of Liam Spencer on The Bold and Beautiful. But despite the accolades he's received, the actor has been nurturing major anxiety about his portrayal of Liam's health crisis. In an interview with TV Insider, the actor explained, "This is an actual condition that people have and people die from, and I didn't want it to be cheesy." keeping it real. As a result, he revealed, he's been feeling really self-conscious about whether his performance is staying true to the physical effects a brain tumor has on a person. Indeed, after Liam's collapse and subsequent hospitalization, where he underwent emergency brain surgery, Clifton wasn't at all confident about his acting choices. He admitted to the outlet, "I was so convinced that I totally blew it or overplayed it, or maybe I downplayed it too much, or maybe it would be more painful than I made it look. And I'm constantly trying to find that balance." Since the scenes in question began airing, he's been gratified by the response he's received from people who've experienced brain tumors themselves, or who have loved ones who have received similar diagnoses, assuring him that his performance was believable. Clifton marveled, "I just got really lucky because I was just doing my best to guess what the experience must be like." The actor, along with the behind-the-scenes team at The Bold and Beautiful, have also taken great care to determine how to alter his appearance to reflect Liam's recent head trauma and surgery. Points out Clifton, Liam doesn't want anybody to know that he spent some time in the hospital, that he had this really scary fall and hit his head, but he's got a hole in his head, and so how is he going to hide that? He reported that the show has employed everything from head wraps to Liam wearing beanies to us seeing it would be some prosthetic shaved square on the back of his head, in an effort to make the visual component of the story as realistic as the emotional one. While he does feel an internal pressure to portray Liam's health crisis with authenticity, Clifton is embracing the opportunity to push himself as an actor. "I really like a scary challenge, and I really like trying to figure out how to imagine being in a position that I've maybe never been in," he noted. Not only that, but he gets to work closely with one of his favorite co-stars, Jacqueline McInnes, who plays Liam's ex-wife, Steffi. "As the story unfolds, Jackie is so easy breezy for me to work with because we work almost identically," he enthused. But viewers have no reason to fear that Steffi's involvement with Liam's health journey will spell trouble in her relationship with husband Finn. Clifton offered assurance to Sin fans, saying that the closeness Liam and Stephanie share is not a desperation to hook up. Liam's not trying to get Steffi back or to intervene in her relationship with Finn. It's none of that. They're really good co-parents, and they're really good friends, and they care about each other, and I think that's all really cool. Thank you for joining me today for the Soap Opera Digest. I'm Pete Peake for the Virginia Voice. This program is also available on demand at www.virginiavoice.org.